We'll do it getting one of these on wheels, I think. Well, I always think if the congregation's escaping, I could chase them with it, you know. Okay. Summer of Love. Let's just see how many songs or films or books even that you can think of that are about love. Or we've got love in the title. Any songs, any popular songs or any books? Anybody? All You Need Is Love? Love Is In The Air? Love Actually? Love Me Tender? Love Story? All You Need Is Love. She, the Beatles, She Loves You.
Yeah.
You might as well face it, you're addicted to love. There's lots, actually. There's lots. And they bring out different aspects of love. Well, here's one for you. I don't know whether this will work, but I need your support with this. But can you bring it to clap in this time, like? Yeah. We're going to give voice to this, okay? Yeah. This thing called love, I just can't handle it. This thing called love, I must get round to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love. One more time. This thing called love, I just can't handle it. This thing called love, I must get round to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love. Yeah. Let's forget the rest of the talk. Let's just belt out some good old songs, eh? The point is that love, there's so many different aspects of love. It's very comprehensive in a way. And it's very difficult to describe. It's better if you experience it than just talk about it. And in a sense, that's the purpose of this series. It's not that we're going to spend ages talking about it. It's to give you a few pointers, in a sense that you can go away and reflect on it and begin to put it into practice, begin to experience it as you go through each week. So we're going to just look at, there's three sessions, and they're only small talks that we're going to give, but they're really to encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit during the week. At work, we have, I work in a power station, okay, and we have what we call toolbox talks, and those are things that we give to the guys that are actually going to go out there and do some work. It's quite a dangerous place, potentially. It could be a dangerous place. There's lots of high temperatures, pressures, and all that sort of stuff. So we generally give them some sort of safety talk just before they go out. And so it's the last thing in their mind. You know, so when they're out there, they're beginning to check that they're doing things correctly. I want the same sort of, I sense the same sort of attitude about this, that this is a love talk, okay? It's about God's love. In order that you can put it into practice as you go through the week. And that's the whole idea of this series. It's just to open our hearts up. You see, we've got to remember that God designed love. And he wants his church to experience it and know the fullness of it. I feel that if we can grasp God's love for us, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning, then it affect every other relationship that we have. If you think about that, it's true, isn't it? If we can fully grasp God's love for us, then it will influence and affect every other relationship that we have. This is a well-known verse, isn't it? Um And, well, let's just read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It encapsulates the whole gospel, doesn't it? And, you know, put very simply, God created man, but man started to do things that brought displeasure to God. And if you can read about it all in the Old Testament. So what they used to do was that the priests used to, in a sense, go before God with sacrifices and, you know, plead with God, in a sense, and represent God, the people, to God. And they used to represent God back to the people, you see. So they used to have to present these sacrifices. Now, God, in his infinite wisdom, decided that wasn't sufficient and that wasn't his methodology. So what he said he'd do is he would accept one final sacrifice for all time. So no longer would the priest need to be doing this and bringing a sacrifice each time, for the, in a sense, to recompense for the sins that people had done. And that one sacrifice, he actually even provided, didn't he? Because he sent his Son to be that sacrifice. It's actually very hard to get your head around that that was for all time. I wasn't even born then. You know, it's incredible. But that's the way God decided to do that. And in a sense, when Jesus died on the cross, the price was paid. You probably heard that expression. The price was paid for everything that we do and have done that has brought displeasure to God. I just wanted to focus on just a couple of aspects, particularly in this. You've got to remember that this is taken from John's Gospel. And John is talking, teaching Nicodemus at this time while this extract's taken from. Now, Nicodemus, it says, was a Jewish ruler. He was part of the governing body, and he was a teacher. In fact, the commentary I looked up, they described him as a prominent teacher. So here's Jesus, and he says, "For God so loved the world." Well, that sounds pretty basic to us in one sense, doesn't it? But do you realise that this was actually news to Nicodemus? That God loved the world. Up until that point, there was that sort of misunderstanding, should we say, that Jesus was just for the Jews. And what he's saying here actually opened up to Nicodemus a whole new aspect of God's love. He probably thought it was pretty big anyway, but when he realised that God loved the world, it opened up a whole new aspect to him. And it's something we tend to gloss over so very easily. And it's because God loves the world, where it says, whoever believes in him. So because he loves the world so much, that whoever believes in him, that's the expression of his love. His love is very inclusive, isn't it? It doesn't matter what country you're from, matter what colour skin you've got. It doesn't matter what disability you've got. It doesn't matter anything about you. God loves the world, so he loves you. It's very inclusive in nature. I don't know whether you've ever been on one of these all-inclusive holidays. you pay, don't you, for a holiday, and you go to a hotel, and everything you want is paid for. So you want another drink while you're sitting by the pool, you have another drink. You want some more chips, you have some more chips. Okay? You want an ice cream, you have another ice cream, and another ice cream. It's all paid for. Me and Nettie have been on a few holidays. We've not been on one of those. But we've set up like a sort of tab thing with the hotel reception or behind the bar. And like partway through the week, we thought, I wonder how, you know, we're looking at how much money we've got left. I wonder what we spent. And we go up and we clear our bill partway through, so that we've got a feel for where we are. We don't have to do that with God. The price is paid. It's already paid. And that's the extent of what this verse is trying to portray to us, and it's the extent of what God wants us to grasp this morning. And then there's that other little word in there. It says, he gave his only Son. Do you know what I mean when I say the joy of giving? Anybody identify with that? To actually give something away, that can be a pleasure. I knew somebody who we used to exchange Christmas presents with them, and he lost his job unexpectedly. He was made redundant, and he was devastated by this, as you could imagine. And you know, they said, "Don't bother with Christmas this year. Don't bother giving us anything this year. We can't afford Christmas." You see, what he was really saying was, "Don't give us anything because we can't give you anything back." And, I mean, how would do you react to that? I've got three choices, really. I could give him nothing. I could give him a present, like I would. Or I could maybe modify my giving a little bit so as not to embarrass him. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't get him something too expensive so he didn't feel too bad about it. Now, if you just look at that from a biblical perspective, how much do you want God to give you? Do you want him to give you nothing? Do you want to give him everything that he has? Or do you actually want him to limit what he gives you? It's kind of foolish, really, isn't it? You know, in one sense, the guy without a job, he needed whatever he could be given. I don't know about you, but I need everything that God gives me. And I think there's a tendency sometimes to limit our acceptance. And I feel God saying, I love the world, I love you. What on earth are you doing limiting your acceptance of me? So I'm encouraging us to open up our hearts to God in that way. So there's just two attitudes there that I wanted us to pick up this morning. The inclusive nature of God's love. It's like you're on an all expenses paid holiday. The price is paid. Not only for you, but for the church, for your neighbours, for everybody. Not everybody realises that, but that is the truth. And then the other aspect, the unconditional quality of God's love. He doesn't give expecting a return. He doesn't give expecting us to match his giving back to him. We can't. Can we, in all honesty? We just can't. We can't match that. So it's really kind of foolish, I think, if we don't just recognise that in ourselves and say, well, I just want what you've got for me, Lord. I want to experience your love. So, what I've done is I've put together just a few notes, not particularly that much about what we've looked at this morning, but a number of Bible verses. I'll leave some up here and put some outside that you can look at during the week and reflect on them. I encourage you not to do them all at once. There's only three. I encourage you to take your time over it. It's actually hard sometimes to take your time over something. So I encourage you to you know, just look at one at a time and reflect on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to see what aspect he wants to teach you. See, God designed love. And I believe he wants his church to know that in order that they can be empowered by it, in order that they can reflect it, in order that they can enjoy it. So I really encourage you to look at that during the week. And just one final thought. In my wallet, which I could show you, I think... I don't know whether you've got one of these where you have like a little plastic insert. Is that where you put your bus pass when you get old? Is that where there is four? Well, as you can see, in there, I've got some photographs. I've got one of my wife, and I've got one of each of my sons when they were toddlers. Okay? And I can't always tell them apart now. Okay? And people do that, don't they? You see people carry photographs of loved ones sometimes in their wallet. And that's why they're there, though, because I love them. And I'm reminded about them, you know, when I see that and think, gosh, look at that, you know, hasn't he grown? You know, all that sort of things. Sort of, there's a bit of poetic license in this, but imagine this. God's sitting upstairs in heaven and the angels around him, and he gets his wallet out, which I've heard is massive, by the way. But he opens his wallet and he's got some photographs inside. He says to the eye, look, there's one of Jackie, there's one of Nettie, there's one of John, there's one of Dave, there's one of Rose. He's got photographs of people he loves inside his wallet. And he's saying, look, this is my child. This is whom I love. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? But I think there's an attitude there that is so true. So I'm just going to close in prayer now. And we're going to go and enjoy time having a cup of tea and coffee together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us. Father, we thank you that you've expressed it to us through your Son. Father, we thank you that you designed love. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you help us to enjoy that. Help us to reflect on that, to accept that, and to be motivated and fueled by it. So, Lord God, as we go into this week, may we take that with us. May we take the knowledge of your love in us. May we take that with us. In Jesus' name, we thank you.